I have a couple announcements. If you could give me a moment of your attention. The men's weekend is October 11th through 13th, and the theme is Knowing Whom I Have Believed. We've heard this for the last couple weeks, but just a reminder is that today is the final day for the registration for that. And there's a basket out on the credenza, and if you are still on the fence, talk to somebody. It's a wonderful time for our men, ages 16 and up, to get together to hear and learn about God's Word and minister to one to another, away from our normal life, you know, our daily life. It's not out of the world, but you know, there's still an adversary there too. But we are we get to spend some quality time together, some time that you know, we're not distracted with our daily lives. So that is coming up October 11th through 13th. But today is the deadline. Registration by 12:30 out in the lobby, or online still, I believe that's available. Music night Saturday, September 9th, and that that's been announced a couple weeks ago also. And the, November, that would already be passed. So, but that, we're doing that a little differently this time. We're not doing a sign-up out in the main lobby. We are doing a sign-up through your fellowship, or talk to your fellowship leader about what you want to do. And there were some details about that last week about, you know, if you want to do something with another fellowship or somebody from another fellowship, still talk to your fellowship leader. And if you don't have a fellowship leader, talk to somebody who can get you some direction with that, okay? And then reminder, there's no leaders meeting tomorrow night here. And before our teacher comes up, first of all, I want to say this podium, the way it's set makes me feel so tall. Normally, I'm like behind it, like this, because I'm a short guy. But so I'm really blessed to have Nancy Heath. Nancy Heath's going to share God's Word with us today. And anybody that knows Nancy knows that she's always teaching God's Word, whether it's from up here or just in how she lives her life. She's been doing it for me for years with just... She doesn't even have to say anything. She teaches me God's Word. Just the example of her life. So I'm excited to hear her teach God's Word today. But before she comes up, we're going to do one more song. We're going to do number 32, God's Faithful Word. Number 32.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Sherry. Good morning, you guys. I am so thankful to be up here. I thank Tom for inviting me. And I have to say that I thank my home fellowship for their love, their insight, their input when I was frazzled and afraid. So they helped me and encouraged me and prayed for me. And so I am very thankful for that. And obviously, most of all, I am thankful to God, our Heavenly Father, who makes us able ministers of His Word, that gave us a Word that is powerful, that it pierces down to the depths of our heart if we allow it, you know, to bring deliverance and, like Danny was talking, to bring healing in our hearts and lives. This is God's Word that we're going to listen to and hear. And our banner that we've had up, I don't even know how many years this has been up here, but it reads, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who will hear you, who hear you." 1 Timothy 4:16. And we've been taught from up here and with each other that doctrine is very, very, very important. God's doctrine, His true doctrine, right? We've been taught it for years And rightly so, we've been taught it, because it only is truth. Anything else is useless. And during family camp this year, I saw the doctrine of God in a slightly different light. I saw it in light of how much God loves us to give it to us. You know, he didn't have to give us his word. He didn't have to redeem us. But God loves us. You know, and the more that we look into his word, the more we see his constant, patient love for us. You know, in saying that, I just think of all the way from Genesis, how God worked with man who shunned him, was full of sin, darkness, and yet he loved and he worked to bring about this plan of something that he wanted for us, which was redemption, which was to put us back in his presence, to be able to love as he loves. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would turn there. This doctrine of God is his instruction in how to live in all he's provided in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from King James. As I besought thee to, this is Paul writing to Timothy, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And I was thinking about this word charge because in my mind, it's the word command. That's kind of a hard word sometimes. You know, it's a strict word. It's not the kind you get a warm, fuzzy feeling from. It's not like a fun word. You know, it's command. You know, I command you, or I am commanded. And that's not always easy for us because of the nature of Adam that we were born with. And it's just not a natural thing for us. And yet, I got to show you in 1 John, please. Chapter 5. In verse 3, it says, 1 John chapter 5. And in verse 3 it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. And, you know, you think about that. If you think about how God loves us and he wants to take care of us, how he knows what's best for us, why wouldn't we want to do what he commands us to do? Because it's only good that he gives. Didn't we hear that either in prayer or manifestations? It's only good that he gives. So, of course, in Proverbs, if you turn to Proverbs right after Psalm, did I say three? Proverbs 3? In Proverbs 3, 5, it begins, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. I think in the NIV it says submit to him. In all your ways submit to him. Acknowledge him, not myself. And he shall direct our paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. You know what that means? It's good for us. You know, that's why we put our trust in God, that we esteem his word higher than our own, his thoughts. They're way above ours, as we heard a few weeks ago in Isaiah 55, way above. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 And back in verse 5, it says, now the end of this commandment is charity. The end, the goal of God's goal of us teaching no other doctrine other than his own, nothing false, is the goal is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's amazing, isn't it? That God is only doing this so that we love. This love comes from a heart that's pure, a conscience that's good, and faith unfeigned. It's not fake. It's not like I say these words and then I don't really believe them. You know, the things that I believe of God's word actually come out in my life. I act according to what God says. I'm not faking it. This is true. Of course, we all have to bring ourselves. It's not like we believe everything that God says. We're growing. We're learning. And what a good way to learn. Didn't manifestation say, open my word? If you do this, you know, if you're weak, if you're strong, if you anything, open my word. Come to me. That's where it all is. Anyway, the pure heart, good conscience, and unfeigned faith, like Mike said at family camp, those aren't natural qualities for us. They're qualities of a transformed life. And a transformed life is the result of renewing our minds to God's word. And, you know, renewing your minds, what does that really mean? It means taking these words that he gave us, and just like it said in Proverbs, to esteem them higher than what I think, what I believe, what I've been trained to think other than God's word. I take them and I put them and I say, yes, that's true and that's how I'm going to be because that's who I am. And it's not just words. It's actually where it lives in our lives. So the command to teach no other doctrine, what are we supposed to teach instead then? True doctrine, right? What's real, what God says. And I wanted to look at some things that are true. So if you could turn to 2 Corinthians. Because obviously we're not always, and we're living in this world just like Dustin taught last week. This world isn't conducive to remind us who we are in Christ, that we're holy, that we're righteous, you know, that we walk as God says we are. It tries to strip that away from us. But there's truth. And just like the manifestation says, open my word. Look, you know, esteem that more true than what you hear otherwise. In 2 Corinthians 5, I said, in verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, you're a new creation in Christ. True or false? True. Okay, 2 Peter. I'll give you another one. Almost all the way at the back, towards the back of the book. In 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3 reads, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you hear that? We're partakers of the divine nature, like God's nature in me, in you. That's pretty amazing. We didn't deserve any of it, you know, just like we were dead. We had nothing to offer, but God gave us, created within us new life, this spiritual life that is God's nature within us. And remember what it said in 1 Timothy, that the aim of this doctrine and believing it is love? part of that nature that we received is the love, God's love within us. That's our nature. It's in here. How about Titus? Timothy, Titus. Look at something else that's true. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, it begins with the word who, and it's referring to Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular or peculiar people zealous of good works. Are we purified? Right, true, not false, true. That's who we are. That's what we are. And in Ephesians chapter 1, oh no, we got to go to Romans 5 first. Something else that's true about us. Romans chapter 5, and in verse 5, it reads, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which was given to us. It was poured out into our hearts through Spirit." So when we got born again, we got Holy Spirit. And this Spirit is filled, it poured into our hearts, this love, just like God. As God loves, so can we. God put us here to be like him. We take the place of Jesus Christ. We show God's love in this world. Isn't that just, what an honor? What an incredible honor that God would place something so perfect and so pure inside these vessels of clay and allow us to be like him and to show his love into this world. We're all perfect at it, right? We're growing up. We're learning. And it's this word that teaches us who we are and how we are. How about if you now Ephesians 1? In Ephesians 1, verse 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." A couple weeks ago, we looked at the pilgrim feasts in the Old Testament and how they foreshadowed Christ. We're going to look at something else that foreshadowed something that God brought to pass in Exodus. You know, God prepared for this a long, long, long time to make us holy, to make us pure, to make us able, to make us his, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to be able to be in his presence without any shame, without being able to ask. Like a child does his daddy and his mommy, you know, ask so he can take care of us. In Exodus chapter, 25. And in verse 1, Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, and chapter 25. Verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for sweet incense, ox, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. This is why they're making this sanctuary, so that God could dwell among them and be with them. In verse 9, and make it according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. In other words, he's going to tell them how to make it. He has a particular way to do things. And verse 10, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. They're going to overlay it with pure gold. And verse 17, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. Verse 23, and thou shalt make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof. You think he's very particular here? 1 cubit and a breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. Verse 29, and thou shalt make dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal, of pure gold shall you make them. Verse 31, and you shall make a candlestick of pure gold. You get the point? It's pure. You know, these things, this is a place where God is going to dwell with them. And it has to be pure. It has to be holy. It has to be a place where he's able to be with them. You know, as we looked at it, it all foreshadowed, the Old Testament foreshadowed something, and it was Christ and Christ's redemptive work and God's desire to dwell with us. Not just in a tabernacle made with hands, but a tabernacle that's spiritual. The new creation within, that is where he dwells. And it's not just in me. It's not just in you. It's not just in you. It's not even just in the saints in this church, is it? It's Christ's church. Whoever there is that has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and said, I'm yours. That's where God dwells, and it's still being built, this temple. It's in the making. Ephesians 2, please. Do you see how particular God was? You know, he gave Moses the plan to build that, and then he gave him every single little detail. If you read further and you look at a lot, there's a lot more detail. I mean, down to every single little, you know, that book that Lisa Clark did in the bookstore, every single little detail you can see. And there was a reason for the detail. God is not frivolous. You know, he had a plan, and he worked this plan, and he gave it to us to make us who he needed us to be so that we could be with him. I'm sorry, Ephesians, right? In Ephesians 2, verse 20, it says, and, talking about the saints, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, what stops us from remembering these things, who we are? Because we live in the world, right? We were trained otherwise before we heard God's word. When we're out in the world and we're getting bombarded with everything else and overwhelmed, sometimes we forget and we react in an ungodly manner. But that's not who we are. We are godly. We have God's nature within us. We have spirit. And that's the truth, right? God's doctrine, the truth. And that's what we want to believe. And remember that the whole aim of this instruction is love. You know, that we'd manifest his love on the face of this earth. Amazing. Okay. In 1 John, please. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." In most modern versions, it says, "We love because he first loved us." You know, granted, we love God, obviously, and definitely want to do that, but we love, you know, not just God. We love each other. We love even people in the world that need salvation. We love because that's who we are. That's what we have. That's the spirit, this nature of God in us is to love. That's who we are. And that is truth. In Deuteronomy, we're going to look, you can turn back to Deuteronomy, fifth book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You can turn to Deuteronomy 32, please. And this was a time when Israel was going into the promised land. They actually finally were going to go in. And Moses, God told Moses that he would not enter in. He would die before he went in. But he also told Moses something else, that when the children of Israel would go into this promised land that they'd been, you know, that he's been preparing them for, that they would see the gods of these other nations, and then they would turn away from him, and they would forget him. And he gave these words to Moses in a song, and he wrote this song as for Israel to learn, so that when they did turn away and they reaped consequences, that if they remembered this song, they could remember, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be looking to God, acknowledging him. And the words of these songs, I'm going to have to read this in the NIV. It says in verse 1, "Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching," or my doctrine, "my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like the dew, like flowers, or like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His ways are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." And this is an appeal to God's people. And it's an appeal for them to know who God is, to know his character, his justice, his faithfulness. Did you hear that? "Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like flowers," or like, I can't get that word flowers out of there, "like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants." Do I want my heart to be tender and meek so that God's word that rains down onto my heart is received? Yeah, I do. I really do. And that's what God is appealing to these people. And he appeals to us today still the same way, with great tenderness, with great love. He wants us to understand who he is and who we are and what we've been given. These words in the Bible and Scripture, they're words from an almighty God, like the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of life itself, the one who designed life, who designed us, our brains. He knows how we are. He knows how we think. He knows what we need. And, you know, we understand this when it comes to man's inventions. I have a KitchenAid. And it came with instructions, and it says that there are three blades. I have the whip, the wire whip, and that's for eggs and cream. And then there's the flat beater, and that's for cookies and heavier things. And then there's the dough hook for really heavy dough. And if I use that wire whip for making bread dough, you know what would happen? It would break and be useless. If I use the dough hook to whip eggs, it really wouldn't work very well. I've been given instructions of how somebody designed this thing to work. In the same way with God, why don't we think the same way? God designed us. He designed man. He had a purpose for us. And he says, this is my instruction. This is my doctrine. That's what doctrine is. It's instruction in how to live, how he wants us to live, godly, in love. What an incredible thing. And God's word says that he'll instruct us in how to live as righteous ones, as holy ones, as people who have pure hearts, good consciences, genuine, true faith, a people who show God's love in this world. Because that's how we are naturally, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, please. Like we were talking about earlier in, I think, manifestations and prayer, you know, we were trained differently than God's word trained us. And sometimes we forget. So we need to remember what's true and what's real. And in Ephesians... Yeah, chapter 2. Okay, settle down for a minute, because this could be we're going to go all the way through verse 10, okay? And it says, "And you has he quickened, you have been made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, we all had our behavior in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ," parentheses, by grace we're saved, right? "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us." That's a mouthful, but think about it. In the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I think we're going to have a great time, don't you? Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are God's creation. We are God's workmanship. And, you know, it talks about having been trained by the devil in his ways, and now we're being trained by his word and his spirit within us. It's training, getting rid of what was lies, what was false doctrines, and putting on true, real doctrine. God's doctrine, what he says is true and real. In Ephesians 5, a few chapters over. In verse 8, it reads, "For you were..." Sometimes, which was the word once. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. And the command is walk as children of light. You once were darkness, but we're not anymore. We were, but we're not. So walk as children of light. And this is a very good check verse. At least it is for me. I use it a lot. And it's because when I start thinking things that aren't right and my mind just gets kind of kittywampus and bad, I think of this verse and I think, wait a minute. I once was darkness. I am not darkness. I walk as a child of light. That's who I am. You know, that's what I have inside me, the light of God's word. And you know what? How could I have recognized what was wrong, though, if I wasn't going to God's word? You know, there's people out there that have no clue what's right or wrong until they hear words of life. But we want to put these words into our hearts and lives so that we know what's true and we know what's false, that we can take the false things and put them aside and think the good things. And then we can be a blessing to people and to our families. And let's see. You know, all these things that we've been looking at, they're God's instruction and what is true. The New Testament reveals what God has done for us by the sacrifice of his son. It reveals God's secret that was not made known to the Old Testament before, believers before. It reveals the gospel of his Christ. It reveals his promise to man fulfilled. It reveals who God is. It reveals who we are. And it reveals our inheritance in Christ. Okay, think about that for a minute. You know, everything that Christ has, we have. That's our inheritance. The first time it really hit my head, I was flabbergasted. Like, what? Everything that Christ has, we have. What did I do to get that, to earn it, to merit it? Absolutely nothing. Only because God so loved does he give that to us. Only because Christ so loved to see what God wanted to do for us and was willing to do it, that's why we have these things. That's why we'll have an inheritance. That's why we're pure. That's why we're holy. That's why we're righteous ones on the face of this earth. That's why we're filled with the nature of God and are able to love. And Romans 1 reveals God's promise from the beginning. These are things that when you read the epistles, you can note these things. We're not turning to any of these. I'm just going to read some things. In Romans 1, it reveals God's promise from the beginning fulfilled, the good news of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2 reveals that we're justified in Christ, not by works of our own. And Ephesians says we have an inheritance in Christ. Philippians 1, now listen to this. Philippians 1 tells us that we can be confident that he who has begun a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's awesome. In Colossians 2, it says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says Christ is coming back to get us. Amen. And then we'll be in the presence of God without anything in between. We will see our Lord face to face in all his glory. And I skipped 1 Corinthians because I want to read something from there. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians, please. And actually, I want to read this out of the NIV. And I know a lot of you guys have NIV 84s, but my Bible app only has NIV, so I'm reading it out of NIV. It says in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 7, it says, "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery or a secret that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." Don't let me say that again? Me too. We declare God's wisdom, a secret that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. So all of this that God has done, he destined it a long time ago, and for our glory, for our glory. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, and we have that Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Oh my golly. The Spirit searches the deep thing. Do you want to know the deep things of God? We have Spirit to make that known to us. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. These words are spiritual, and they teach us truths, the truth. That's why we can believe them. Just if we weren't born again, forget it. We wouldn't be able to understand who we really are, who God is, what we've been given. But we are born again. We have God's. If you're not, then it's real easy to be. It's just accepting Jesus Christ as God's answer to sin and death. What's the choice here, really? You know, sin and death, or salvation, eternal life, love, partaker of the Almighty God, of his Spirit, his divine presence. God made us, his wonderful world known to us by spiritual words, and he instructs us in living as the holy ones he's created us to be. Back in 1 Timothy, please. So the charge that Timothy received, to charge people to teach no other doctrine, is that a very loving thing to do? It's extremely loving, because of the extent that we understand what's true and right, we'll live that way. And then the end of the commandment, the whole goal and the aim of God's commandment of this is love. And verse 5, it says, now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and good conscience and a faith unfeigned. And in 1 John, please, we're going to turn to 1 John. These words from God instruct us and tells us how he's designed us to live. They're words that impart life and salvation. And these words are on our lips. How amazing. What do we have to give? Something so incredibly awesome that isn't of ourselves, but God backs it up. It's his words. It's his power. It's his might. We are the vessels that declare it. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. No one has seen God, verse 12, at any time. Moses saw the back of God, didn't he? He did, but nobody's seen God full on without anything in between. But it says, if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love lives in us, and God's love is made known to the world by our actions, by what we do and speak. And we demonstrate his love in a world that is sorely in need of it. A world that's in despair, a world that is in darkness, a world that needs love. And people are looking for love. They just look for it in all the wrong places. But it's in God's holy word, his scripture of spiritual words. God instructs us on how to live life as he intended. This is my closing, by the way, Danny. God instructs us on how to live life as he intended. The aim of his instruction is love. His word teaches us that what he's done in Christ and how he poured out his love into our hearts through Holy Spirit given to us in the new birth. He made us partakers of his divine nature, and we display his love in this world. What an incredible honor and what an incredible privilege, don't you think? God bless you guys.
Thank you. We're going to close with number 85. First of all, I'll remind you, if you have a registration to drop off for the men's weekend, don't forget to do that, because at 12:30 that's cut off. And again, if you are not sure still, talk to somebody if there's any reason that you might not go. We're going to do number 85, My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me. And there's a lot of different parts in this song. If you know them, sing them. There's some choir stuff going on in there. And then on the last chorus, we're going to do My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me, just that last line twice, okay? Let's have fun with this, guys. It's the truth. We're singing about the truth. Let's take care of each other after. We're actually done a little early, so if you have kids to pick up, make sure you let them finish until 12 o'clock before you pick up your children, all right? Number 85.
My Heavenly Father watches over me.